This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Yes, sir. It's hour three of the nation. Let's talk Stars hockey in control of their series with the Avalanche. As we now get to 2 days to enjoy the victory, game six will be Thursday in Colorado. Jared Sandler joining us here coming up at 4:40. He'll talk Rangers, A's, and what we got to do to get some offense going here coming up in about 40 minutes. But I'd love to talk some hockey with you. General, at your service, salute to you. Congratulations. The Stars, you know, really giving DFW sports what we need. This is therapeutic, okay? This is really, you know, quite a respite after what's been nearly 3 months of a personal sports hell here in North Texas. Dallas Stars apparently are saviors. There's Brian Broaddus, Lucius Alexander, Wolchuk and Schiafalo here. Carter Freeman's coordinating your video. You can watch us. 105thefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. The thing that it's so tight, it's really a shame that one of these teams is going to have to be eliminated because they are so damn close. Mm-hmm. The great stuff last night is your money dudes performed. Pete DeBoer calling out the guys making the big bucks, and they responded, knowing that if they lost this game, they would have to go try to survive on the road in a hostile environment, and chances of that would not have been awesome. But the Stars are now being hailed for their ability to turn it on. And I don't know. What explains it to you guys? And the text is open here at 877-881-1053. It's almost surreal you've been able to do this without Miro and Robo. What do you attribute it to? Jim Neal, the GM, the head coach, DeBoer, Otter. I don't think anybody thought they'd had a chance. I certainly didn't. If Miro didn't come back, I didn't think they had a chance to win this series. But they might be better than the Avs even without them. And if they can beat the Avs, they can beat anybody in the West.
That's what's incredible. And that's one of the things that excites you about moving forward is you don't have like Winnipeg running through St. Louis right now. So there's not going to be round two where you've gone 6-7 games, emptied the tank, and you're going up against a team who's super, super fresh. Like you see in the NBA right now, Nuggets, Clippers. Hey, that's a battle. I mean, that's an incredible series. But that's going 6 or 7 games, and then here comes OKC in the next round, and they're well-rested. And so the Stars aren't going to have to deal with something like that. I think ultimately you have to give Jim Neal a ton of credit for having a team that's capable of showing up in this manner without two of their best players versus a team like Colorado. So that's first thing. But also Pete DeBoer, I mean, his team's 13-5 in games after a loss in the playoffs as the Stars head coach. So he obviously understands the right buttons to press whenever everybody feels like they're down and out.
You know, when we had Greg Wyshynski on, I think he made a good point. Like, sometimes you just kind of have a team's number, and Pete DeBoer has had success against Colorado in the postseason with the Dallas Stars. And that could have something to do with it. But, I mean, there's a reason the Stars have been the favorites in the West all season. And the only thing that caused any doubt for us was really just kind of the way they limped into the playoffs. And so that caused us to be like, okay, should we second guess this? They're not playing very good hockey right now. And then, of course, when you don't have your best player in Miro and then Jason Robertson, who had been one of your best offensive players since the Four Nations break, goes down, it's like, okay, crap, you're not playing good hockey, and then you're down to your best players. But it really shouldn't be a surprise to those that have kind of been watching the Stars all year long that they are super deep. And their forward group and how Jim Neal has constructed this thing by adding guys like Mikhail Granlund at the deadline. And credit to Cody Ceci. I had my doubts about CeCe last night. He's got his blade pops off, and he's gimping and wounded, and he's blocking pucks, you know, just kind of rolling around on the ice. And I mean, the penalty kill's been sensational in this series. I do think Otter has been really, really good for the most part. There's been a couple of goals maybe, but you've also had some like quirky goals. It benefited for the Stars last night, but I do think Pete DeBoer, you know, he has had a knack when it comes to pushing the right buttons, much like what Bruce Bochy did in that 2023 postseason with the Rangers. When he goes ahead and voices frustration, he really picks and chooses his spots, and the team usually does go ahead and reward him, and it lights a fire under him, and they don't want to disappoint him. And then you got a lot of veteran players on this squad as well, so they're not intimidated by going to a Colorado. They've been there, done that, and they've had success there, so they're not looking across the ice and saying, hey, it doesn't matter who we have. I mean, that's the beauty of hockey, right? You see Minnesota and St. Louis, for instance, and you're thinking these are teams that they were probably picked to lose in five games, maybe six games, and they could win those series. You have unlikely heroes that step up in a big way, like, you know, Michael Blackwell did to win an overtime game and score a game winner for you. You know, you get guys that you just don't expect that all of a sudden rise to the occasion in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And I think that's why, in my opinion, it's always been the toughest trophy to win in sports.
You know, I think there's something to be said for the moment and taking advantage of it. But the stat that Chief gave on games following a loss for DeBoer, his Game 7 record, I think maybe that deserves closer inspection. And then the 817 says the winning environment in that Stars locker room is second to none. You think about the Western Conference Finals trips, the Stanley Cup Finals trip. This team has just done so much winning. And I think there's got to be something to be said for the culture in that locker room and how resilient these guys have been for a long time.
You know, if you look just like last night too in that game, and just maybe diving in a little bit deeper in the metrics and stuff, with guys winning defensive zone faceoffs, you know, Colin Blackwell winning, you know, defensive zone faceoffs, Granlund, Sagan, Duchesne, they've all were near 100% with those defensive, you know, zone draws. You know, that's something that, you know, that's getting the puck, that's getting control, and then that's getting it out of the zone. You know, when you're winning those types of those faceoffs in that area, you know, you control it, and then you get that out. Now you're on the attack, and that, you know, Colorado just didn't have very much success with those last night. And you got to give those guys a lot of credit for, you know, on that end of the ice, being able to dig in, get the puck, and then find a way to get it out of the zone and then try and set up the attack, which they were able to do quite a bit last night.
It's so amazing because these teams have played so much, not only this year, but over the course of the last half decade, and they know each other so well. But, you know, the difference in your ability to execute under pressure, here comes the Avs forecheck again. Yeah. And in game four, you can't do anything about it. Now, suddenly in this game, you're making all the right fakes. Your first touch is so perfect to set up your pass. And now you're executing perfectly, but it's unpredictable whether you're going to be the team. Like, I don't know what it is. You know, the human ability to focus day in and day out is a roller coaster ride.
Yeah, that's why these series are so fun, because you live and die with every game, and you make the last game the story of the whole series, but then every game is really its own standalone thing, and it is a bit maddening where you don't totally know what to expect on a night-in, night-out basis, and that's part of two awesome teams, and on any given night, the more sort of locked in team with the better plan, they just lost the last one, so now they're hungrier. I mean, it's that swing back and forth in a series that makes these things so fun. As soon as you think you're down, you're back. As soon as you think you've got it, you don't.
Yeah. The feeling of satisfaction, you know, is so dangerous in sports. They say in soccer, the most dangerous lead's a 2-0 lead, right? You go up 2-0, you're like, oh, we got this.
Right.
And the next thing you know, it's 2-1, then you get nervous. And I know a lot of Stars fans were nervous last night at 3-2, you know. That play-by-play, man, he lights up, and I think I was falling asleep, and I heard, goal! And I'm like, oh, no, right? That woke me up real quick.
Is that Bob Wyshuszczyk?
Wyshuszczyk or something like that?
Yeah, but he's awesome.
The way the Stars bounce back there, I think showed a tremendous amount about the resolve and their sports character, considering what happened in the final 2 weeks of the season. I would have thought that that sinking feeling of here we go again would have had to shot through those lines, but it absolutely did not. Okay, the 214, the coordination was on the spot last night. We collapsed on Otter in moments when the Avs offense seemed close. We controlled that game offensively as well.
Absolutely.
512, I wish the Cowboys had that gritty culture. Mm. Well, it comes from leadership. You know, the GM, the coach, you got to find the kind of players that not only are going to lead that by example, but you know, also be able to vocalize, you know, to others and newcomers that come in exactly what all goes into that. And sometimes it can be very difficult to establish that and then to bring it back. You know, even if you've had it, you know, it's no guarantee that you can maintain it. So you need incredible leadership and the people that know how intentionally install that and maintain it. And that's why I think, even though they haven't been able to ultimately win the Stanley Cup itself, they've had so much postseason success. They got some of that. They got some of that stuff that a guy like Corey Seager and Nathan Eovaldi brings to you. You know, and that's why I think champions, ultimately, once you can get it done once, you know, repeating as champion is so common, even though there's, you know, 29 or 31 other teams competing in whatever sport that you're looking at. Okay, Mikko Rantanen tying his single playoff game career high with 3 points. I thought that was huge last night, and hopefully that sets something off. An amazing goal, but he has been a point-per-game playoff competitor his entire career. For him to be pointless through the first four games of this season, that was a little bit frustrating.
Yeah, what was it, 2 assists and a goal? I mean, it was beautiful to see him and Hintz, and the forecheck was working really well. You know, going back to the leadership, I think Jamie Benn has been brilliant in this series. I think you saw it in game two, him throwing his weight around. I mean, he really set the tone. I thought it was, I mean, we talked about it with Strangis on the Wednesday. I thought it goes down as arguably his best postseason performance as a Star. And then immediately, I think it was noticeable. As soon as Nathan MacKinnon banged home that second goal before Wyatt Johnson was able to score on the power play, it was Jamie Benn who laid a massive hit along the boards and really was able, again, to set the tone physically, like, boys, we are not now on our heels. We are still going to be the aggressors. And then just a couple minutes later, they get the power play opportunity, and here's Wyatt Johnson with goal number two. I think that leadership of Jamie Benn, who also, as we've talked about, him, Sagan, have been here a while. You've got guys like Duchesne and Marchment that have been so close to getting to the Stanley Cup. Those veteran guys knowing, like, how many chances are we going to get? And then Jamie Benn's also going to be an impending free agent. And I think he wants to stay here, and the Stars want to keep him around as well. So you don't get a lot of chances on this, to go ahead and win. And this is one of these special teams that kind of does feel like it's got it all together. He doesn't want to waste another opportunity.
Okay, Rangers are wasting opportunities with runners in scoring position every time I turn around. And there's frustrating things to talk about with these Rangers. We do have Sands coming up at 4:40. Can we celebrate some good here? Bobby Belt posting extrapolated Wyatt Bangford numbers. You look at his last 45 games. That goes back to last September and the start of this year. You extrapolate that to over 162. You'd be looking at a 310 hitter with 50 home runs, 104 RBIs, 122 runs scored, 40 doubles, 40 steals. That's the kind of pace that a guy Wyatt Langford's on.
50-40. Yeah.
Starting to look like the best player on the team.
Yeah, but with the tying run on base, he took one swing and popped it up.
Yeah, it was bad.
You know, that part of it, I mean, I'm not trying. It's not like
what have you done for me lately? I respect where you're coming
from.
No,
it's like, you know, wet blanket guy, but you needed something. You needed him. You needed Garcia. You just needed somebody to get Semien home to tie that game and then take it. You know, I mean, it was going to be difficult dealing with Miller. We saw that the other night in Sacramento. He's just a hard guy to get through. And, you know, maybe he didn't have his best stuff last night, but the slider looked good. But the fact that they you know, he just got one swing at it and it was just a, you know, kind of a pop up. Those are unfortunate right there for me.
Yeah, he had the rare collar last night. I was projecting him to go 2-for-4 with a home run. I guess he's just saving that for tonight. But I do think now we're deep enough into this season, and maybe you need another 12 games before we get to 40. I think they might have to do something that we would never imagine here as Texas Rangers fans for decades. We have so much pitching. It's time to trade pitching for hitting.
Feels like you're playing with fire there a little bit, but I totally get where you're coming from.
I mean,
this is where we're at.
I don't know how to talk trades in Major League Baseball because so much of it goes to the prospects and the money spent and how much is this team going to pick up, but I do know the Rangers farm system is stocked with dudes. You know, you look at our young pitchers that haven't even got to the big league, some young pitchers that have been here. What if you get Gray and Bradford back before the deadline and they're pitching well and you're looking at Rocker and Leiter and teams that are in desperate need of young pitchers? I'd be willing to deal any one of those, either one of those guys. Leiter, not a future ace. Rocker might be too hurt. I don't know. Seems like he's got a lot of control issues. Excited if he stays with the Rangers for what he's going to do for the next 10 years. Both these guys, you know, might be a good number two or number three pitcher for you. You might be looking at the Vandy boys as the 2-3 for your future. But if there's a big son of a gun that's hitting over 300 with an OPS over 1,000 that plays first base or outfield, got to do it. That's where I'm at.
I'm with you, dude. And you've seen them move on from a Cole Reagans in the past, you know, young up-and-coming pitcher. They did it for Aroldis Chapman. You do know that CY is willing to get ahead of things in a huge way. Like, you have the confidence in CY being like, okay, whatever it takes, I'm willing to do it. Hopefully Ray Davis will open up the door for that. But this is the portion of the season where I'm a little bit disappointed we don't have the Rangers extra innings with Jared on the horn with the callers. Because this is like Rangers fans are starting to get a little bit testy with the way the offense looks.
Yeah.
They could draw Jared offsides in a heartbeat right now.
Especially with the prank call extravaganza that we had over draft weekend.
Yeah, it's in the water right now.
The pump is primed for pranks. You know, I'm trying to get after Sandler here a little bit.
Maybe we should just start taking calls when he visits with us.
Ooh.
Now we just like outsource some Tolo calls. And maybe that's our best opportunity to try and get some angry sands.
I mean, the TV post game is nice. Not going to lie. I think Jared's doing a nice job there, but we do not have the possibility of Mount Sandler erupting, you know? And that was always kind of hanging in the balance on the radio whenever he went to the phone calls.
It's gone dormant.